Ante Up is your poker magazine dedicated to the everyday player and their poker rooms. Pick up a free copy at your favorite poker room nationwide each month. But Ante Up is much more than a magazine. Visit anteupmagazine.com daily for breaking news and each week download our award-winning poker cast. Join us on our action-packed poker cruises to exotic destinations and find special deals on Ante Up gear and great poker products at anteupstore.com. Ante Up. It's your poker magazine.
From the Ante Up headquarters in Tampa Bay, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now, here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's November 13th, 2015. You're listening to the best poker cast on the interwebs and the sea. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And I'm Scott Long.
Yes! Which one is the Scott Long?
Sorry, that's a callback to last week.
Yeah, Faso was on the show last week because Scott forgot an extra episode. And, of course, I blew it. I wanted to bust his chops a little bit about it. And we're sitting in the terminal at the cruise ship, and Laura says to me, "Oh, Scott knows." And I'm like, "He does?" She said, "Yeah, he posted something on Facebook." And I said, she goes, "You're not on Facebook." I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Yeah, he posted something on Facebook about how Faso saved the show." And I'm like, "Oh, man." So then when I finally see Scott on the ship, I'm like, "So, you know, I was hoping to bust your butt a little bit about the show, not doing the streak and everything." He goes, "What are you talking about?" And I'm like, "What? I even got that? I didn't even get to enjoy that?" So Scott didn't know that we had saved the streak for him.
That's a damn shame.
But we do have a special guest on the show today. Gambit from the show, our good friend Mark from the home game. He came on this first Ante Up cruise this week, Mark. What do you think?
Awesome. Love it. I mean, a lot of poker, so it was definitely a good time.
Yeah, yep. It's been a good week. I mean, we are pretty much all of our tables been full all week, and Mark owes me a little bit of money because he started playing Omaha, and he's like, "Oh, this game's kind of slow, and I kind of lost a buy-in." And I'm like, "Mark, you're in the wrong game. Play No Limit Hold'em."
Best tip of the cruise so far. Good thing it was on day one and not day three.
Yeah, I told you right away. Like, No Limit Hold'em.
Yeah, so it was good. I still think that's a beatable game. It definitely is a beatable game.
It is a beatable
game. When you see what everyone's playing, you just got to have, all 5 days you want to put in.
Yeah.
I'm done. I have seen enough. These suited aces and wheel cards are not hitting for me. I'm out.
And then the next thing you know, Mark's like table captain at all the, as far as like the chips. Every time he sits down, he's got more chips than anybody at the No Limit table. He's doing really well. So.
Yeah.
How's that feel? I never felt that.
I haven't even seen you play.
Yeah, Scott played. I think Scott played one session.
Yeah, I played one session. I kept two games going. I got one game started and kept another game going, and that's really all I played. So
when was that, early on?
That was C-Day.
Yeah, that was the last C-Day.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's funny because I almost always just try to keep games going. So if it looks like it's going to get to like shorthanded or break up, I'll sit down. And so all week, that's all I've been doing is sitting down and trying to keep the game going. I'm not trying to win, and yet I'm having the best cruise of my life as far as winning.
Like a prop.
I'm like a prop player, but I'm not trying to be one. I'm just trying to keep the game going. I'm trying to give out signals that, I've got a big hand, just get out of the way. So I'm just trying to keep the game going. People just want to give me my money.
And then, of course,
their money.
I'm having a good night last night, and the seat opens up. Chris sits to my immediate left, and my graph is going up and up and up, and then he sits down, and then flat. So yeah,
but I had to keep it going.
Yeah,
And then,
sure.
So
but, yeah, that's an interesting thing because I used to play a lot on the cruises, and then I got away from it. And I think part of it was I felt bad taking money from our players, right? And they're already raking the game very generously, by the way. I mean, reasonably.
Yeah.
So I really don't want to be the guy that's taking all of their money. So that's why I've kind of scaled back on playing, except for when I need to pop into a game to keep it going. And so it was interesting the day that I played. I actually sat down, that game was going and didn't need me to prop, but it was all of our regular players in.
Oh yeah.
So it felt a little different for me to sit down. It would be like the home game, we always, it's friendly, but we still want to take everybody's money. So
So
that table was fine, and then I left that table to start another table with all new passengers, first time on. And that's where I'm like, you know, I'm going to play as passively as I possibly can. And, of course, lost $76 doing it. Fortunately, I won at the other table.
That might have been the only time I think I wasn't in here when the room was open. I think that was after the tournament, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played in the tournament, and after that, I just needed to decompress a little bit. So. Yeah.
That's why Mark made the final table of the first tournament.
He cashed in the tournament.
Yeah, I did well. Came fourth, so that was pretty good. And there's another tournament going in now.
The main event, right.
Like I was saying, I'm not really a big tournament guy, so I just kind of opted out of that one. The thing about tournaments is, and it's no fault of... Yeah, this is true of all tournaments, not just, you know, on the cruise or anything, but... Of course, when the hands mean the most, it seems to be when you have the least amount of play.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the levels were 8-16 with a 500 ante at the final table, and we were all probably sitting with between 90 and 150,000. So it was tough. It, you know, it becomes an all-in or fold type thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that gets tough.
And you have no idea how tough it was because I successfully packed all of our stuff into two totes this time. I was very proud of myself. And to do it, I knew I was going to have to cut corners somewhere. And so I actually did advanced math, and by advanced math, I mean... addition and subtraction. That's about it.
This is the man who does the books for you, by the way.
On how
red
many
red flags going up?
Oh, man.
Red flags going up. Scott's talking advanced math.
So I did advanced Scott math on how many tournament chips I thought we were going to need, and darn it, if it didn't come down to almost every chip we had in play.
I noticed that on our table, we had no 500. Our starting table had no 500 chips, and the 500s are orange.
Yeah.
And so we had a break. I'm walking around, and I'm seeing stacks of these orange chips, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my god, there must have been 100 rebuys here, and they're already in the 5,000s or whatever it is, and they were 500s. Like, oh, what are those orange chips? So
we were sweating pretty hard at the end of that. Our save was we could have gone up and borrowed tournament chips from the casino, but
oh yeah, right.
I was trying hard to get us down the two totes, succeeded, and
you did.
Almost cost us.
When it comes to stress, it was like the least amount of stress this time for me, because even though Scott was already on the ship, it was just two tables, two bins, because the ship gives us four tables, sometimes five, I guess. But you know, just it was just nice and easy. Brought it up there, and they just took it and brought it in. And as soon as we got to the room, they were bringing the stuff in, so it was nice that way. And it's just been a good cruise.
I love cruising out of Tampa. I mean, we're all from the same area.
Yeah, we're all from the same area.
So
yeah,
super easy for us. But yeah, and the port is a little smaller, so you get some of the smaller ships, maybe.
Yeah.
But I've noticed it's a lot less crowded than I usually go on the big Carnival ships. It's been a lot less crowded, easy to get around, you know, not a lot of lines.
The Skyway makes up for a lot of that because you can't have a big ship in the Tampa port.
Yeah, that's why.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's what makes them small and everything.
The one downside is as soon as we dock Thursday, I'm getting dressed and driving straight to work.
Oh, yeah.
My wife will do it as well.
Yeah,
but that's all right, though.
Yeah. The plus side, I don't have a long flight in front of me, and I don't have to go through all the airports.
That's right. That's right.
When I get home Thursday, I'm going to sleep because I've been on this boat for
17
nights. One last night, and I get off at 10.
I'm surprised they haven't given you a uniform yet have you carry drinks to people and, you know, put you to work.
And what's interesting about being on back-to-back cruises is the first cruise, we didn't have a lot of passengers, so we didn't play a lot of poker. And then we stop in Tampa, pick up all you guys, all of our regulars and all these great players. And as you said, the room has been packed. And this five-night cruise just went, like, fast, you know. And the other one kind of dragged a little bit. And I can only imagine if we had this group of players on a 13-night cruise.
Oh, man.
At some point, we'd all be broke.
Hell yeah.
It would be a lot of fun, I think. So I kind of feel bad that this one's almost over.
And then our tradition kind of continued with the tattoos this cruise,
which
is pretty remarkable.
Yes, do not underestimate the power of peer pressure out there, folks.
Yeah, I want to hear this story.
Yeah, so for our listeners that haven't heard, in the past, a couple years ago, Ramsey, our poker manager, talked me into getting a tattoo, my first one ever. The NEFA, right?
Right, the NEFA.
And ever since then, when we come back to Cosmo, we go back to the same tattoo parlor, and we talk a couple of our passengers into it. Actually, Ramsey did the first time. I'm like, no one else is going to get a tattoo.
Right.
And, he, sure enough, in that first year, he found two or three that would. And so every year we go back and we get a couple more. This one was kind of fun this year because the last time we were here, we put photos in the magazine of the people getting the tattoos.
Right.
So we brought a copy of that magazine to the tattoo parlor, and they loved it, of course, because the artist that was on duty that day was also in the photo in the magazine, so he was ecstatic.
They don't have it hanging on the wall. As
it's on the movie. Next time we go back.
That's right. All over the world now, the NAPA is taking over.
I have no idea what it means, but that one looks good.
So that was exciting in itself. But going into the parlor, we thought we only had one taker this time. We had our good friends Big Joe and Little Joe, we call them. They're father and son. Little Joe got last time. Big Joe didn't make it off the ship, so we knew he was in.
Yeah.
So we thought that was going to be our only one, and so we show up, and all of a sudden, one of our friends that was joined us on the 13-night cruise, all right, whatever. Sat down, he got one, and then one of our passengers already has one, got a second one. And then two of our dealers who had swore to me the last 2 weeks, and we kept telling me I got to get them, they finally gave in.
Wow.
So we're up to 11 people now with your official Empire tattoos.
A couple of them, they spiced it up a little with an anchor,
right? Two of them have anchors now.
Anchors on the A, so it kind of hangs off the A.
That should be your
anchors A-way.
Yeah, or your cruise logo.
But always a fun day in Cozumel. Of course, I had a little too much fun, so I called an early night last night. But now we're down to our last night, so we got our returning players' dinner tonight at Giovanni's table, and excellent, excellent Italian restaurant on board. So looking forward to having breaking bread with them and playing the rest of the day and having a good night at the end and going home and doing laundry for the first time in 3 days.
It's always depressing when you walk into the cabin and the luggage tags have been dispersed and you're going to have to start packing up soon.
Yeah. You got
to
fill out that customs form and you have to get off the ship in the morning.
Yeah.
It's funny, when you guys went ashore, I've been to Cozumel so many times and you've done so many excursions that I stay on the ship now because it's nice and quiet. And Gene and I have sort of gotten this sort of tradition of seeing the movie. And so this time it was Ant-Man.
You were spotted in the theater.
Yeah, it was Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Right? So we hadn't seen it yet. And I kind of remembered this, but it was only reminded when I finally watched the movie. Remember years ago when in the show we used to always come up with these funny, names at Deutsche Bank and all these words in Antiope Dictionary. And then we had the episode where we kept calling you Scott Lang.
Yep, yep.
That's the name of the guy from Ant-Man. Isn't that hilarious?
Here's the thing is I'm not into
comic books
and all this stuff anyhow, although Paul Rudd, I'm a big fan of.
Right, me too.
So this movie, all the movies that have been on this cruise were in the same rotation the last 13 nights.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I actually never saw any of them, but I walked by the, on the ship now, they have these big, huge monitors kind of things.
Oh, right? Yeah, right.
The compass and the menu.
Right.
And when the movie's up, they'll have the movie thing up. So I was walking by one day, and I looked over and I saw Scott Lang. And Princey's Paul Rudd, and I'm like, that's pretty cool. I always went to see it just to see my my slang name.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was a pretty good movie, too.
Yeah.
Not that we're going to turn this into a movie buff
movie podcast. So
can
you give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
We give it three big stacks.
Yeah.
So anything, Mark, that you want to talk about that happened during the week? Any in particular hands or anything you want to tell the readers or listeners?
Oh, man. I haven't really thought about a particular hand or anything.
How about play in the ship? What do you think of the play on the ship?
The play on the ship is, there seems to be two levels of player almost on the ship.
Uh-huh.
Really good, really experienced players, and then maybe some more casual players who may have won a big hand to get on the ship or something like that. But overall, the play's been pretty good. The action's been pretty good. I've really only been at one table that I would consider kind of tight,
Right.
Or I wouldn't say tight. Maybe tight post-flop, but more of a loose pass in pre-flop.
Right.
Where everyone was limping, but after the flop, the action just died. It was just a lot of small pots or anything like that. And you try and not get caught up in that trap. And I think that was one session I had where I just about broke even. I think I ended up $10 on that night. So that was one of my worst sessions. And I think I got caught up in that trap a little bit playing at that table where you get so many limpers and, you feel like you're almost priced in.
Yeah.
And you're not playing any two, but pretty darn close.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're thinking, oh, you know, if I hit, I'm going to stack somebody. Well, not really, because a lot of other people are playing junk, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right, yeah.
So it's not like you're going up against other big hands that you're going to stack. So, but I guess that's pretty much my commentary on the play.
One of the things that I want to say was, usually when at Tampa Cruise, we have a mixed game going, almost always. I think the last cruise we didn't, but all the other ones we did. And this week it's been, there's a limit, 3-6 limit hold'em game. There's a 3-6 with a full kill Omaha 8 game.
That's the game I was playing the first
night.
Right,
that's the first game your first night. And then the other three have all been no limit hold'em.
Yeah.
And we put some lists of interest and stuff up on the board, but never really got enough to do more than that. And then sometimes we'll do, all of a sudden there's like sit and goes around the clock. And then there's some where there's never any sit and goes. And this is one of those weeks where we didn't have one sit and go.
I didn't see any sit and goes.
So it's really, it just depends on the people that are showing up. But generally, who will show up for this one are the ones who like to do the mixed game. So they had the regular limit, and then they had the Omaha. So I walked by the Omaha table a couple nights ago, and there's an open seat. And they say, Chris, come on, we want your money. Your money's good here, you know. And everybody's busting my chops. They want my money on the table. And so I was like, no, I'm going to play Omaha 8, but especially with a full kill. I said, if you add another game to it that I'll play it. Mm-hmm. So they're like, what do you mean? I said, well, stud 8 or even hold 'em. And they said, why don't we play Ho? And I'm like, ding dong, is that what I want to do? And so it took like 10 minutes to convince everybody to do it, but they all want to do it. So I sat down. And I sat down into the Omaha, and I won the first two Omaha hands. All of a sudden, I had a huge stack already, one, two hands in. I'm like, this is a great game.
Yeah. Actually, I would like to get in that game, too, but that was on a night where I was actually doing very well. On one of
the games. You don't want to get out of it.
I think I'll just take
it. So when it got to stud, in all the years that we've been playing stud 8 on this ship, Scott, how many times have we gotten a community card at the end?
Oh, wow. Oh, probably once.
Maybe once, right?
Yeah.
Three hands in a row.
Oh my gosh.
So that was how, that's how juicy that game was. Everybody was staying until the end.
Yeah.
You know, I had a scooper once, and then I split the two. I won four out of the... I split three, and I scooped one out of the 10 hands we played. So we're playing 9 and 10-handed stud, which you're not supposed to do really, but... Yeah. And we had a community card three times in a row, and four out of the... Like 9 hands, of what I think was 9. So unbelievable. I mean, everybody just stayed to the end. By the end, they finally started to get it. Okay, I mean, I should be folding, you know. But
maybe we can get a mixed game going tonight. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Maybe we'll get a mixed game.
Oh, the funny thing, the other thing I want to mention is, like you said, it was a whole game or whatever.
Yeah.
I kind of got trapped into that Omaha game the first night I was here. You're like, oh, we're playing Omaha. And I'm going, Omaha, Omaha, great, I love Omaha. So I sit down. There's these two lovely ladies sat down.
Right.
Bought in for $40, right? So, I mean, they're a little elderly, so that's cool. You know, I'll buy it for $50, no problem. We're playing Omaha. Turns out, no one here says Omaha 8 or Omaha High Low. You just have to know Omaha means Omaha split game. I'm thinking it was going to be PLO, not PLO with that low buy-in, but maybe a limit Omaha High or something like that. I don't know. So anyway, we sat there not too long. The room had just opened, so maybe we were sitting for just like 3 or 4 minutes, but they got bored and they saw another like a hold'em game, a limit hold'em game open up, so they like switched tables. Right, then like a whole new crowd comes in, buys in for like $150, you know, and I'm sitting there with my measly $50. Then I find out, oh, it's not Omaha High, it's Omaha 8 or better. So I'm like, oh man. And then it was just brutal after that. You know, ace deuce tray, miss, and everything. And
I sweated you for a little while, just chatting with you a little bit, and I'm like, every single time you got ace deuce tray, ace deuce four, he'd play it, and it would come king queen. Hello, man. So.
So the spinner story actually was interesting this morning. I taught the Omaha 101 class this morning. And a lot of the cruises we end up not even having because no one shows up.
Right.
This morning we had probably 20 almost, I think, by the time we got going. And we're people standing behind the table.
I popped in for a couple minutes and
biggest Omaha class ever, right? So we tried to cram as many people at the table. We talk a little bit about the game, but then we deal out hands. That's how we try to... teach people on the ship. So I went and dealt, got done, just pre-flop dealing everybody in, and I realized I had 5 cards left in my hand. And I'm like, we must have some... Do we have 11 players at the table? And they're like, we have 12. I'm like, oh my gosh! I'm like, well, at least I have enough for the...
There's no burning.
Yeah, there's not burning anything. So we get done with that hand, and the other thing we do on the ship is when we fold, you don't turn your cards in. So at the end, everybody turns the cards up, and we go through all the hands and explain it. So we get the gentleman next to me, and he turns over, and he's got three cards. And we're like, "Where's your fourth card?" And he's like, "You only gave me three." So I'm like, wow. So
did you have to call the floor over
for the class? We're teaching you Tahoe today. Everyone else is learning Omaha.
Someone called the floor before the tournament started yesterday.
So imagine my excitement when I got done with all that. I'm like, oh, at least I got enough cards for the flop turn and river. Only because I shorted this guy a card. And he played the entire all the way to the river with three cards. So my next lesson to everybody was, if you only get three cards in Omaha, let the deal come.
Don't play any 11-hand tables.
All right, well, Mark, thanks for joining us on the show today. We appreciate it. It's good to have you on.
Thanks for having me, man. This has been an awesome cruise. Highly recommend it to anyone out there who's kind of been on the fence about it. Do it. Do it. You won't be disappointed.
Thanks, man. And for those of you who are jonesing for their one O'Malley's move, it'll be back next week after a hiatus, so don't you worry. We'll be back. So I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Warren.
We'll see you at the tables.
Anti-Up is a production of antiupmagazine.com. Contact the show at podcast@antiupmagazine.com or call our hotline at 206-338-6344. If you'd like to advertise, send an email to advertising@antiupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.